Blog Talk Radio.
Don't you let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirt together. Gonna polish up our red crown. And if you never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well, don't you let nothing stand in your way. I want you to live.
are once again Wednesday night. It is Reentry Talk with the men themselves, Minister Jaquan Diaz and Mr. Nathaniel Evans. Let's give them a nice hand. Welcome them in.
Hello, hello, hello. How y'all doing today? It's great to see everybody on the platform. Looking forward to this great discussion that we're going to have, our connections with one another. So today's topic is, what is a healthy transition, right? And I actually came across this topic, you know, by different talking to different leaders, you know, and they own different rights, you know. I run into leaders that's dealing with, you know, the prison systems, dealing with our communities, dealing with financial growth. Also run into leaders that are dealing with spirituality, you know, self-awareness. Leaders are actually teaching you about meditation, the power of meditation, power of yoga, you know, and the power of just actually connecting with one another. So this topic, you know, I'm actually going to read off in the synopsis I created for this topic. You know, we strive for greatness and to know our purpose. Tonight's segment focuses on creating a healthy transition in your life. Do you need money to be happy? Do you need the best of the best to be at peace? Is it possible to live a fulfilling life without all the obstacles of things that are designed for you to obtain? Life is a friend to those that value the true essence of it. Tonight we will explore the value of a thing or the status within your life. Are things more important than you, or are you more important than things? Explore this in depth. So this is the premise of our conversation today, and this talk show today. You know, and I do have a guest today that's actually coming in. You know, Terry Simmons. She actually didn't get here yet, but as soon as she gets in, I actually will bring her forth. So healthy transition. You know, you look at society now, and there's a lot of focus on things, right? And the things that we're focused on seems to be a quality of life thing, like my house, my car, you know, the money I'm obtaining, the status that I'm obtaining. These things are seem to be a part of people's reality of life. It has to be a part of people, how people define themselves, you know, and how people actually define one another, right? So with all the things that we obtain, all the things that we strive to obtain, out of all those things, which of those things were you able to find peace in? Which one of those things that will actually bring you comfort in your life? I had a really close friend of mine, you know, he's a business guy. He's really smart. You know, he had some real estate properties. He had some strip clubs, right? You know, and he was very, you know, profound, you know, in his business. But something happened to him. He made a wrong turn somewhere. Maybe he made a wrong turn spiritually. Maybe he made a wrong turn physically, you know. But the turn actually sent him down a downward spiral. And I remember I was talking to him one day, and he said, "Yo, I just lost the car. They repossessed the car." I said, "Yeah, you know, but you know, you're still here. You know, you don't have. They didn't repossess you. You're still here." And then he came and said, "I just lost my house. You know, I lost one of the houses." I said, "Well, you know, you still got two more brownstones." He said, "Well, one of the brownstones my family took over." I said, "All right, so you got one brownstone now, right?" And he just kept talking about all the different things, you know, that he was losing. This is over a period of time. I remember one day I walked up to him, and he said, "Man, I'm losing everything. I have nothing to live for. You know, there's no value in my life at this point." And I'm standing, I'm looking at him because the spirit hit me and was like, "Well, you know, this is, aren't you holding your son in your hand? Isn't your son 1 year old?" And he was like, he looked at me. I said, "Yeah, your son is your value. Your son is a life value for you, right? You're saying you're losing everything, but you have a 1 year old son." I said, "This is your only child. Like, you know, you don't have no other children." And it didn't dawn on him, you know, that he had a purpose, you know what I mean, that was greater than all those purposes that he was actually filling his life up with. Thing that he was attaching his life to, or allowing to be attached to his life, so he's able to identify himself to all these different things that he obtained, you know. And I was telling him, you know, value your son, you know, value the life that the new life that's actually happening for you. Losing all these things, but a new life is happening for you. You know, embrace the moment. Embrace the change that's actually happening for you. And he wouldn't respond. He wouldn't listen, you know, to the wisdom that was coming forth to him. Not from me, but that's the wisdom that's coming forth out of the land. A lot of times we mistake wisdom for a person. We mistake knowledge for a person. It's not a person. You know, wisdom is here to move you forward. Knowledge is here to increase you, to allow you to have comfort in your life, to find peace in dark spaces. I mean, I was in prison, you know, and I walk down the corridor and I'd be singing songs. You know, I don't know where the songs come from. I'm just singing my little songs, you know. And I had a guy come to me and say, "Yo, man, you in prison, and every time I see you, singing a song. Why are you always singing a song?" And I didn't really have an answer for him other than the fact is, why aren't you singing a song? Aren't you happy about your life? Aren't you blessed that you woke up this morning? You know what I'm saying? That you even had the voice? You know what I'm saying? To ask me that question. Some people in this land don't even have a voice to ask me a question, right? So, you know, we have to actually see the difference of our lives, the healthy transitions of our lives, actually what those transitions mean. And I remember telling my friend, you know, that you have this building. You know, you got one building left, you know, and either you're going to let the building go, or you're going to allow the building to fall on top of you. So I sat back and I, you know, talking to him. I see him moving around, saying no. He was like, "Yo, I'm going to go sell some drugs out of state because I got to pay my light bill. I got to pay the mortgage for the building." And actually the building fell on him. He actually wound up getting 6 years in prison, you know, behind trying to maintain something that was actually being stripped out of his hands. It was nothing that he could do. He wouldn't let it go. He fought against the natural impulses that life was actually bringing him. You know, he fought against the other elements of life that's actually being introduced to him. A lot of times, that's why it's so important not to get attached to anything that's on these planes. Because once those things are stripped away from you, will you flee after those things? Will you perish because those things are falling? You know what I'm saying? Or will you just sit back and just let those things be what they're going to be? Will you let go? Right? Or will you harm yourself? You know what I'm saying? So you can obtain these different things that you have brought into your life. It ain't like it's manna coming out the sky and it just drops and it transforms into a house or a car or a relationship or into money. These are things that you actually strive to go out there to obtain. Are you able to let them go in the same fashion that you obtain them? Or will these things that you obtain destroy your transition so you won't be at peace? So you won't have profound insight, or you won't have spiritual awareness, right? So you won't have the touch to heal others, you know what I'm saying, to cultivate and empower others to new levels. You lose all these innate gifts because all the things that's outside of you are crowding you. They're calling out for your attention. They want you to touch them. They want you to embrace them. You know, they want you to call out to them and chase them, you know what I mean? But to what end that we chase these things? And why do we chase these things? This is just a brief introduction to not basically what our topic will be about. But the story that I told you about my friend, he's actually in prison, and he went to prison during COVID, right? And it was a sad thing to see that he was gone. You know, I teared up. I cried, you know. And I saw that the building was still standing there when he was gone. I saw that the tenant that was in the building actually was ready to create deals with other people in the community to save the building, which he never thought about because the spiritual awareness wasn't there. It wasn't intact. So he wasn't able to look past the reality of his circumstances. And that's why sometimes it's easier, it's better to just let go and let it be so you can see the true picture of what's actually happening to you, right? So you can really be involved with the process that's actually changing. We're always evolving. We're always being renewed. If you go into the scripture, the Most High said, "Renew the spirit." What does that mean? How do you renew the spirit? Do we know what the spirit is? Right? How do we get in tune with that process, with that elevation, with that development? a renewal of the spirit. We go to church, you know, we go into the mosques, you know, we got Indian doctrine, we got the Dead Sea Scrolls, right? We got all these books about spiritual awareness, spiritual knowledge, but are we really able and willing to go through the transition of spiritual growth, of a spiritual renewal? Are we able to actually remove the things out of our minds for new things to actually come into place and increase us and move us to another level? Or are we stuck where we're at? Do we believe that the things that we attain, we're going to die with these things? Do we believe that we're going to take these things somewhere with us or be able to pass these things on for our glory? This is going to be my glory. I can pass this on to my son. I can pass it on to my daughter. But what happens when these things overtake you? What is there to pass on now? And if you pass on something, do you pass it on in a great spirit? Or are you a spirit of, you know, anguish? Topic that I'm actually exploring. And I do want to open the floor up early, you know, for people to actually, you know, have their peace and speak about, you know, this matter. To speak about healthy transitions. What they see as healthy transitions. What it is that they have attached themselves to or allowed to be attached to them that they cannot break free from, that robs them from peace, that robs them from sleep at night, you know what I'm saying, that takes away the core, you know what I'm saying, of their existence. What is this thing, and if you actually measure this thing according to you, does this thing actually stand up to you? Does this thing actually define who you actually is or who you actually can become in the land? I'm curious. I'm going to open up the mic. I want to speak to my people. I want to find out what's going on and what are their thoughts. Reverend Vaughn, you have something to say first before I open the mic up. That would be great. If not, I'll just keep moving.
In terms of your question, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And what is your question?
The question. No, a healthy transition. You know, what is a healthy transition? Like, what is that? What do you have found in your life that's going to allow you to transition on a healthy level? Or are the things that surround you or the things that you accumulate, you know, come in the midst of your transition, don't allow you to move, you know, freely, you know, in your life, but actually lock you in?
That's a general question in terms of people themselves. Well, I would say everybody would, that question would apply to the person's circumstances based on what they're transitioning from, whether it's in an addiction, whether it's poor health, whether it's hard decisions in your life that causes you to have conditions that are challenging, maybe poverty, maybe lack of education, maybe lack of good health, good mental health. You know, so people transitioning from different things. Some people have to transition from too much success, as we see a lot of people now. A lot of people are committing suicide at a large number. People who normally you did not think would commit suicide because they had all the necessary things in life that they needed, fame, fortune, good looks, wife, children, you know, or multiple people. They just feel like they got everything that anybody would want. You know, some of these people are young and they have accumulated great wealth and they have great friendships and great relationships. They seem to have a vast level numbers of romantic interludes with some very famous and quite, if I may say, sexy women. And they commit suicide and they need a transition. They need a transition from things in which they didn't transition from that kept bothering them. And it just, their fame, their fortune, their continuous rising to the top but not being satisfied, that's an oxymoron. That's a conflict of mental condition. It's a conflict in one's head. When you have achieved so much but you do not feel the happiness that you express outwardly, but internally, you're dying. And a lot of people don't understand it. I understand it. I went through with that because as a young man, I made my first millions at 18 years old, and I was trying to transition from segregated South in the 50s, you know, being the back of the bus, going through the whole transition of integration, segregation, of this total inhumanity to man, inhumanity to man, that whole upbringing, racism, and the environment, and I just wanted to get out of that. And I thought by achieving high-level academics and finances, which I did, started college at 15, got my PhD at 21, and I made millions of dollars at 18. But internally, I was dying. The internal pain that we talk about now, you hear a lot of the sports figures are talking about, I need to take a rest. I need to stop. I have a mental challenge. I have mental concerns right now. And we saw that a lot of the famous sports people were saying, I just need to get off this boat right now for a minute. And I had to get off because I was running into a train, trying to be successful, trying to be powerful, trying to change my condition from what I thought was a low-level second-class citizen to someone high and powerful. And the transition from that was not healthy because I wasn't doing it in a healthy way, as you're talking about, and a healthy transition, a healthy recovery, a healthy healthy way of overcoming circumstances the proper way, the correct way, the healthy way, you know, to transition. But I wasn't transitioning healthy. I thought it was healthy. I thought I was getting over the circumstances by achieving academics and money. I thought that was it, and it wasn't. It wasn't really it. It was something else internally that I was still, even today, to a certain extent, I still, you know, I have this conflict of me, a black man in America, African-American, whatever you want to call it, in this country, the conflicts. And so I'm transitioning, if you will, to, you know, where I can feel comfortable about me. I'm trying to, you know, I've been married 3 times. I have several grandkids and kids, and daddy, grandfather, son, you know, a nephew, professor, doctor, a millionaire, whatever, these titles that people give you, and you take on these titles with certainty of a misunderstanding a lot of times. And so I'm in a position now at this old age. I'm in a position now trying to find me. Who am I? And so that's my transitioning that I feel is healthy for me, to find out who I am. Am I comfortable in the skin that I am? And do I need to really deal with the conflict of society and titles and all those things that come along with being a human being in a construct like we are here in the United States? So many titles, so many things to do, so many things to achieve. And then when you achieve these things, are you really happy as an individual? I don't know if I made any sense. You know,
yeah,
it's complicated.
And I definitely understand that. It's complicated. I definitely understand that. And that's why we're exploring it, because we, you know, we have to search, you know, we have to seek, you know, for our greater purpose and our greater understanding. If not, we're going to feel unfulfilled, right? And that's not a great thing to basically feel unfulfilled. You want to be able to have a connectivity, you know, to your own purpose, and to basically be able to define, you know, certain elements of your life, not all things, because some things are not granted to us, but the things that are granted to us, the things that we can actually get to, you know, these are the things that we strive for so we can reach ourselves on a different level. I do have a guest, which is actually Terry Simmons. She had a different phone number than I didn't anticipate. But I actually want to bring her in because she's going to bring, you know, a different aspect to this topic. You know, we actually talked about this earlier and we expressed certain things. And I want to, you know, introduce herself. She's a motivational speaker. She's a mentor. And she's also a minister of the word. You know, and she's working on a platform for career criminals to adjust career, you know, dealing with youth and dealing with individuals that are transitioning from incarceration, and just so they can find a greater purpose, basically, so we can actually heal, start healing our society, you know, start with the violence and the death, you know, and the unwarranted robberies and just the energy when you walk into a space where there's just a strong energy that's not really conducive, not really explosive. And we, as people, need to be energized, you know, not just by ourselves and our spirits or our mindsets, but also from the things that surround us and the people that surround us within our community. We need to be energized, you know. So I want to actually bring in Terry Simmons, you know, and she can introduce herself and give you more clarity about who she is. And then we revisit the topic and see if any people have any more things to, you know, expound on. Hello,
thank
Terry.
Yes, thank you so much, Mr. Van and Mrs. Diaz. I'm so happy to be here with everyone today and to be able to be involved. I really enjoyed your topic that you just gave about transitioning and how to make a more healthier community, basically. So I'm going to be talking about reentry and how it affects our community. I'm truly involved in helping people in the community, especially those that I know that affect my people, where my people is affect me and my anyone that is of my kind, which is my people. I know that we are all affected. There's no such, I'm not trying to make any prejudice remark or anything in that nature. I know that everyone is equal, but the only ones that suffering the most are the ones that are in the poverty and low area and suffering from, you know, that's going to prisons are the five times more than the whites are the ones that are of color. And I think that is very important as advocates, which we are on the phone. We are all here for the same purpose, which is to help and to make sure that our people get the resources and most important, that they get the love, because the resources is going to come from us. We are the ones that is going to build up our community. There's no one else that's going to come in our community and do the things that we're going to do for ourselves, because charity begins at home. We have to be the one to believe in ourselves, and once we able to see ourselves as far as who we are, then we could put more value in our community. I believe that value is what holds the principle of keeping our community intact, is when we are participating in our community. Just give me a moment. I just want to be able to think of what it is. Okay. It is important that the people don't continue to go in a vicious cycle. The reentry is the word. Reentry is to go back. First of all, we are positive people. But we have been giving the hard way to go. We have been giving the hard way to go, and it's only because that we have so much to offer. But we have been oppressed, we have been depressed, and it's time for us to use what we have and build and come together and make sacrifices one by one. Each person should be able to share their story. Everyone that has been affected in our community you have to be very great in order for them to come out. And when you come out of a situation, then that's where we're supposed to pull each other up. And Basically, I always try to, in the community, I work with the young people, and I have a lot of passion for the youth. The youth is so important because they didn't ask to come here, so we have to be the ones to be able to give back to our community and be able to keep our community intact. And I don't want to keep, you know, going over the same social environment that we are in and repeating myself. So I'm just going to just pretty much end it. And I thank you so much for just having me on board.
Oh, that's great. I really, really appreciate that. You know, it's, you know, just some profound things to say, you know, about our communities and the enrichment of our communities. Like, how do we enrich, you know, who we are and, you know, what our eyes see, you know, what our ears hear, you know, the things that we speak about, the things that we touch. You know, the scripture where I see King Solomon actually took over the kingdom from his father, King David. And he said he ruled for 40 years in the kingdom, and there was nothing but peace. He said even from the lowest man to the highest man, there was abundance of wealth, abundance of resources, abundance of tools, right? The concept of poverty, the concept of homelessness and his ring didn't exist, right? And he was very, you know, pleased with that because he was able to see this, but also not to see it, but also to feel the vibrations that was taking place in the land, the vibrations of mirth, the vibrations of joy, you know what I'm saying, of connectivity, you know what I'm saying, of brotherhood and sisterhood. You know, even the animals was happy, right? So everything, the insects, everything was happy, you know, in kingdom's ring. And this is something that we can aspire to become because these are examples that were set down for us to explore, you know, to basically peruse and see, hey, man, you know, we can do these things, you know, even as we're looking at the different elements in our community, us as leaders, us as change agents, us as, you know, compassionate, you know, beings, you know, can actually start chipping at the blocks, you know, and start breaking down some of the barriers that's actually taking place in our community, amongst our youth, even our elders actually being attacked in the land now, actually create a foundation for us. They're actually being attacked. So we have a lot of work to do, but the greatest of our work is actually to bring forth, you know, great love and also faith within our community. So I actually want to ask different people if they have any, you know, questions for you, if they can help you in any way, how you can connect. And let them know where you're from. You know, you never told us, told the audience where you was from. Hello, Terry? Oh, so she must have jumped off. But I'm going to open up the mic for 9375. It's 9375, if you want to actually interject, if you have anything to say. Also have another mic. Open up the mic, 0946. If you want to share with us today, 0946.
He just called me.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So let me see. What else I got here? Oh, I have 6165. 6165, 646920, 6165. See if you can. You have it 0000. So the mic is open.
Oh, yes.
93. Yes. Yes.
0000 is on the line.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yes.
Yeah, you can speak, sir.
He's asking you what.
Okay, now you're talking about reentry. Okay. And I heard you quoting scripture and a few other things and whatnot. We need all of that.
Yeah.
All of that. Yeah. That's right. Laugh. Okay, because okay, to keep from crying.
Yeah.
But most important, we need our five principles. Love, peace, truth, freedom, and justice. Love, peace, truth, freedom, and justice. That's what we need. Okay, and before we do anything, as far as coming out of prison, we need to be educated. And it doesn't start after we get out of prison. It starts while we're in prison. See, because if the man gave you 10 years, you're going to lay up in prison 10 years and don't do nothing? And what do you think that individual is going to do when that individual come back out on the street? Nothing. Because nothing from nothing leaves nothing. This is simple mathematics. Okay? We're making all this stuff hard for us because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Oh, I'm Christian. Oh, I'm Muslim. I'm this and I'm that. Yes, you're none of that. You're none of that. Without love, because it's all based on love. Why are our youth doing what they're doing? Because of lack of love. Lack of love, because when you have love, then you're going to get some truth. And when you get that love, you get that truth, you're going to have some peace. Okay, and that brings about freedom. Yeah. And then, listen, if you and I and the woman that was on, Terry, and a whole bunch of other people get together, we start loving each other and whatnot, come on. We're going to get some justice because it's going to be just us. See, let me explain something to you. This Caucasian, because he's not white, we got to stop that too. This boy, that's right, boy. He's a boy. It's only one woman and one man on this planet. That's the black woman and the black man. Okay? He is a boy. I'm not, okay, beating up on nobody. But it's true. It's true. If you don't want me to tell the truth, then I'll hang up. Okay, but I'm going to tell the truth, and the truth does hurt. And see, that's what the Caucasian is afraid of, and that's what he runs from, and that's what he has us out of. We're not in truth anymore. We're into him. See, everything to him, the truth is a lie, and the lie is the truth. What's right is wrong. What's wrong is right. That's why everything is so helter-skelter.
That was deep. I'm sorry to interject, but you just said something that was real profound. I want to specify that. You know, you say we're not into truth no more. We're into him. That's powerful, man. You know, that's a really powerful thing that we really, you know, to see, like, what are we taking?
Yes, we're into him. We're into him because, okay, we don't know self. Okay, there's no love for each other. That's why we're into him because, okay, years ago, okay, you're talking to an elder. Okay, years ago, when I was younger, okay, the Nation of Islam was headed by a brother called Elijah Muhammad. And he was teaching that the reason why we love the white man, the Caucasian, okay, because he gives us nothing. And that's the truth. He don't give us nothing. We love him. Okay, he said, well, he give us cell phones, he give us wigs, he give us nails. Oh, that's nothing. He don't give us the inhale and the exhale. That comes from God.
God comes from Most High.
That's right. All of a sudden, we see him as being God. Because he giving us, cell phones and sneakers and wigs and all the foolishness. Cars. Okay, come on. None of that's going to help. That's going to help. Listen, get sick. You see where your help is going to come from. It ain't going to come from the sneakers.
Right.
You ain't gonna come for all them cars and the house and the jury, like you talking about mm-hmm. what the brother with the house and whatnot. Oh, wow. That's like, get rid of that house. Live. I mean, you know, well, you can live in one of them, but get rid of that and live. What do you need all them houses for?
I'm going to bring you back in, brother. I just got to bring somebody else in, too. But
yes, sir.
Definitely, you still got more than an hour, and I'm going to actually bring you back in. I actually appreciate, you know, the input.
I thank you so much, brother. May God continue to bless you.
You too, brother. So right now I have 9375. This is Miss Debbie. So
yes,
come
Ms.
on in,
Miss
Debbie.
Yes.
Hear what you're talking about.
Hi, can you hear me?
Deborah, here you go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, okay.
Loud and clear.
Excellent, excellent. I just would like to, you know, just to talk a little bit about what Terry was talking about, and I'm 100% with her. We need to concentrate on our youth, and a lot of our youth that we don't realize, okay, is, you know, they have a lot of problems. We have a lot of mentally ill children with developmental issues and problems and autistic, and we have a lot of stuff going on in our community. And if we don't help our own community, who is? Who will? Who will do it? If we don't step in and try to make some changes and try to do some things. So I just wanted to speak a little bit about that and how important it is, you know, because our children are suffering so much and they have so many issues. I mean, the first thing that happens is they get locked up. And so the problem is never resolved, you know, the problem is never solved. Because it's like nobody cares, you know, even our own selves, we're talking about our own children, you know, you just let them go. I mean, do you ever look at the youth that are walking around outside? We're talking about young people homeless, sleeping on the street. It's really, really a sad situation, and we need to make some changes and, you know, and try to help our community because we can't run. There's no place to hide. You know, it seems like the problem is just growing more and more. I mean, you know, just to get down to, you know, the reality of things. We can't go back and make no changes about what already happened, but what are we going to do now? We as a community, we need to step up and, you know, try to help and come together and try to see what we can do to help one another. And I heard you talking about love. Love is very important, and we need love. Without God, we won't have love. We can't. We don't even know where to start is to get love. We've been so hurt, and just in our own home, you know, for our own family, we've been hurt. We've been destroyed. Our minds, you know, we don't believe in counseling. We don't believe in therapy. We don't believe in going to church. And these things are all so important. That's the only way we're going to heal our family, and then we need to heal our community. So, you know, enough said. That's what
I have to say. That's great, because, you know, you was like, you know, they talk about the fountain of youth, but where's the fountain of love at, right? So, you know,
right.
You want to be able to tap into that fountain, you know, and bring out all the beautiful things, you know, that's in there. There's so much beauty in that one concept that we have to explore it
on a
high level. Right.
Yes,
and
but you know what? You could talk about it, and you could tell people that's what you want, but it's hard for people to understand what that means. You know, helping one
that's
another,
true.
And you know, people are more so they out for self. You know, what can I get
well,
for me?
Here.
What can I do for me? Mhm.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're here, you know, Christ chose 12 disciples, right? You know, and
right.
He anointed them with love, he anointed them with faith, you know, with compassion, with hope, you know what I mean, with boldness, right? He gave them all these different tools and gifts, you know what I mean, because he knew the challenges that they were going to face in the world. He knew they could not go through the land and survive without love, faith, hope, you know what I'm saying, the audacity to bring
that's
about
right.
change, you know what I mean? So these are the same things that's happening to us, right? We can't survive without these things. These are our true, these are true elements for our existence. Like water cultivates the body. These things cultivate the mind and the spirit and the heart, right? And
you know
it's not in true abundance around us, but it's here because it's in you, it's in me, it's in other leaders, it's other people that's on this platform. No, so it's there. You know, it may be peeking through the window, right? But it's there, right? And this is why we having these conversations. This is why we exploring one another, why we coming together and doing the different things that we're doing, because we're looking and we're seeking that full embrace that's actually out there for us, that the Lord has given
that's
to
right.
us as gift, right? So we
and
can
you,
go
you,
and try
right.
to get all these.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm listening.
I was going to say that you just said a lot. You just gave a lot of information, so that brings us back to one thing. We need to get back to the basics, and that's the Bible and our faith and our true love for God. Because without us bringing that in the family, we don't have nothing. We're going to get lost. So it's urgent. It's urgent, you know, that we know, you know, listen, we got to get back to God. We got to start fasting and praying. I mean, that's what it's about.
Yeah, and you think about that a lot on the show. You know, a lot of people come on the show and they think about this. Fasting, prayer, meditation, you know, unification. You know, all these things have a purpose, because after the 12 apostles created more apostles, right? They created more leaders. It wasn't just them, right? They went out there and found new leaders, you know, men and women, right? And they fought for the truth. You know, they fought for life, right? We are life forces. You know, you can call me white, black, indifferent. You can call me whatever you want to call me. But at the end of the day, I'm a life force, right?
Right.
So you can't put me in your little box. I'm not in your box. I'm busting out the box. I can't be in your box. I'm suffocating in here right now, right? So we have to understand that we are life forces, right? And the force, what does the force do? It moves things out the way. It's like it's like a hurricane, right? It moves everything out the way, right? Nothing can stand in his way when a force comes in the room. You can feel it when your energy comes into a room, how the whole room changes, right? When people look at what's Ms. Deb going to say? What Ms. Deb going to do, right? You can feel the energy when you come into the room, because that's you part of the Red Sea. That's in your life. When that's you touching other people, men and women, even the people that you think you haven't touched. I was online the other day on LinkedIn, and a young woman reached out to me and said, Mr. Evans, I have a cleaning company right now. I said, oh, she said, you helped me 2 years ago. You helped me with my mindset. You helped me with my heart. You know what I mean? And now I got a cleaning company. I was able to come out of my space. I'm at a whole other space, and I'm hiring other people. You know what I mean? And I'm bringing change to other people's lives. And I said, you know, that's fulfilling because you think that the seeds that you plant don't resonate.
That's
you think that they don't grow, but those seeds grow.
That's true. That's right. They do. You're very right. That is very much the truth. That's very much the truth.
You
think
you know,
people are not listening, but they hear you.
They are. They hear you. You plant something in your garden, you know what I mean? You don't see it grow, but one day you come out there and it's like, oh, man, I could pluck me something off, you know, I can get me one of my tomatoes. I can get me one of, you know, one of my fruits, you know, that I planted, right? You wasn't watching it,
right.
Sitting there the whole day, watching to see it bud and everything like that. You just knew. Without a shadow of a doubt, that if I put this seed in here and I properly water it and I properly take care of it, that's going to produce something for my life, right? So when we out there, we're not looking for instant gratification. This is not a race, right? There is no winner here. There is no winner here, right? We plant our seeds as we're going through, right? And we're all chained.
Mm-hmm.
We're all linked to the same chain. There is no big odds and little rules. It doesn't matter if you got money or you don't have money. Those things don't mean, those are things that are insignificant, right? Because if you go on the Bible, you talk about the rich man and the poor man. You might not want to be a rich man. You have to talk to Christ. You might say, oh, man, Christ has taught me. He has told me to get away everything. I ain't get away everything I got. I work hard for this. I had this thing for 40 years. I'm not just going to give away my riches, right? So we have to look at the lessons that's actually being taught to us in the scriptures. You go into Job chapter 29.
Right.
Job talked about how he walked in the land. And how people pay homage to him, and how he came to the young men and the older men, and how he sought out justice, and how he broke the spoils of wickedness out of the mouth. You know what I'm saying? The spoils out of the mouth of wickedness. He speaks about these things that he did. These are our ancestors, right? This is our strength. Right. This is our life force, you know what I mean, that we have to tap into every single day until we have our healthy, to our healthy transition come forth. Because we're not looking to be stuck here with things. We're not looking to be spirits or ghosts and people houses and stuff like that. No, we came here, we want to do what we have to do, and we want to move on.
That's right. And, you know, people don't realize the power. That's where you understand the power that you have by coming closer to God and praying and reading the word, okay? That gives you strength, and that shows you your power. And you have power with God, right? With all things with God we're able to do.
That's correct. That's correct. Okay. I really appreciate you, you know, you're on the platform. We
no problem, brother.
In, you know,
no problem.
More, you know, but it was a blessing.
Okay.
I hope to meet you soon. Like, I hope to meet Terry soon, you know, and this has been a great pleasure meeting you, know.
Okay, thank you. You too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Appreciate it. So we have a mic open, 6165. I don't know, you know, if I can get you, if I can get into the show, 6165.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
How you doing? Hello.
Hello.
I'm listening. I hear you.
So, first I want to say, without God, we don't have anything. And God is everything, and praying is everything. And God is love. That's what I would say. And I agree with what about the young kids going to jail and stuff like that and not having any support and doing time for things. You know, a lot of people get locked up and they do time for things that are not even irrelevant for them to even get the time for because they have no help and support. And a lot of young people have mental illnesses that cause them to, you know, become homeless and do things because they don't have any family or they might be raised by a single mother. You know, they might not have a father or they might be raised by a single father. So they don't have all that support that they need, you know, to succeed sometimes. But I feel like Miss Terry brought up some good points about that, and I just wish that in our communities that they had a lot of support because I feel like there's no support in the communities now, really. I mean, where people are coming out in the street and just talking, and even people talking about God, there are some people that do go out there and do that, but there's not enough. There's not enough. They don't have enough people talking about God in the street, you know, talking to young kids about God and how to lead it, how they need God in their life to get where they're going, you know, and how praying is important for them. A lot of young, you know, people, they don't know about, like, how to pray and stuff like that. They don't know about these things.
That's true. You know, you made a good point because, you know, even when Christ came down here, Christ, you know, he had to teach the high priests and the Sadducees and other leaders on how to pray, right? You would think that these men would know how to pray already. But so if they knew how to pray already, why would Christ teach them how to pray to the Most High, right? So, you know, we're all developing. We're all going through a renewal spirit. And as we go through these renewal spirits and as the spirit touches us, it's our duty, our responsibility to touch others with it. It can be anybody, you know what I mean? It can be anybody, you know what I mean, that you touch. You know, you don't have to pick and choose the people that you want to touch in life, you know, who you want to talk to. It's just who you are. You want your nature, you know what I'm saying, to actually touch everybody, like somebody beating the drums, right? The beat of the drums goes to anybody that's around, right? It doesn't say, you know what, I'm not going to go to that person. I'm going to go to this person, right? It goes to everybody. Some people it's going to resonate with, and some people it's not, right? It may come back to them a year later, 5 years later, 10 years later, right? We all learn lessons at due time. When I was curious sometimes already, to take on the responsibilities of that lesson, right? We all have, you know, the channels to bring changes. It's even like what Terry said, and, you know, even I looked at her synopsis that she sent me earlier, And the synopsis actually spoke about a good thing, you know, creating mentor programs in our community where individuals can actually sit down and just talk to a mentor out of nowhere. I ain't got to come and sign up for a program or give you $5 or $10 so I can get, you know, acts of wisdom, so I can get some knowledge. You know what I mean? They just sit right here. You know, in the scripture, the Most High said the elders sat at the gate. Why do they sit at the gate? They sat at the gate so they can instruct others. They can instruct the youth. You know what I mean? They can instruct one another. They can sharpen each other. Iron sharpens iron, right? So we have to look at these little lessons that's here for us, you know, and not think that we have all the answers. We are learning vessels. We are learning tools in the land. And as we increase in our learning, increase in our wisdom, and increase in our spirituality, we're able to sharpen the things that surround us as well as ourselves.
Yes, but I also think that there should be a program or something that teaches young children and older, like young children, teenagers, and young adults about God, you know, how to pray and, you know, just,
you can create that too. You know, they got YouTube, they got TikTok.
That's true. Well, you know, for me, anywhere I go, you know, I pray for people around me. I pray for people at work.
Awesome.
I pray for people in the street sometimes. And I pray for anybody that opens up and they want to know about God. I pray for them all the time. I mean, I don't have a YouTube thing going on,
mm-hmm.
but when I speak about God to people all the time, young people, it doesn't matter. I have prayed for homeless people before who ask me for something to eat, and I pray for them and I talk to them about God, because without God, you have nothing in this world, because God is the creator. So while I say that we need, like, more, I really don't know where, because how I learned how to pray, you know, I didn't learn that when I was younger too much, where I was praying. Now that I'm older, I understand how important it is to pray when you're also younger. You know, I mean, like a teenager or a young adult, 21, and you're just starting off your life, and you don't know your purpose, and you don't know how to pray, and you just don't know how important it is to have God's guidance in your life to see where you're going. And now that for me, that I have God's guidance, I know where I'm going, and I know who I am, and I know what God wants me to do, and I know how much he loves me, which is very important that you should know his power. And when you pray to him, he will give it to you.
That's a beautiful gift.
As long as you're obedient, with your obedience to him and your faith in him.
That's right. I really appreciate, you know, you sharing it. You know, because this resonates, you know, with some of us that's here, you know, and even if it doesn't resonate now, you know, it's going to resonate with some of us later on. You know, when you find yourself in a space that's unfamiliar to you, you know, when you're losing the things that you always, you know, cherish and held dear to you, you find out that there's a greater power, there's a greater possession, you know what I mean, for yourself that's in the world, you know, and this is the Most High, right? And, you know, we have to, you know, remove ourselves from a lot of things that's actually taking place around us, or the things that's consuming all our time and all our energy, right? To be able to make space. And I think that's what it is. It's not that we're not able to do the things that we need to do as far as praying and fasting for one another, but it's a fact of space. Our space is so crowded, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we don't have the space to open up for others and bring others in, you know, and then you have to be able to share freely your space, which you have been doing, you know, without thinking that somebody's going to come and take something from you, you know, about going to a conference room or going to an event dealing with social justice. A lot of leaders, they clam up. They don't want to open up because they think this young man's going to come and take my, he's going to come and take my position. I have no position here, and you don't either. Right? We here to increase and to improve one another. Stop with the titles.
Right.
I'm a Christian. I'm a Catholic. I'm a this. I'm a that. Nobody cares about any of those things. We care about the abundance of who we are as a people and how we get to those different levels that's going to increase us. If you're a pastor, That's a beautiful thing. That means that you know certain things seriously that you should be willingly sharing with other people. Not because they're Christian, not because they're Jehovah's Witness, you know what I'm saying? Not because they're Catholic, but because you say you're a pastor. You're saying you're the word of the Most High, that you know the word of the Most High, and you're going to basically pronounce it to any and everybody, right? That's what makes you a pastor. Not the fact that you actually open up your collection tape or that you actually be able to drive around a new car or a new house. That doesn't make you a pastor, right?
Right.
It's about curing and healing the spirit. How do we get to the spiritual element of what we profess ourselves to be? If I say I'm a spiritual man, how do I profess that spirituality in the world, right? How do I bring this, you know what I'm saying, to fruition, right? Not just for me, but for others. So creating that space within ourselves to allow others to abide with us, to allow others to comfort with us, you know what I mean, that know that when they come to us, that they come into a space of peace, a space of non-judgment is a beautiful thing, you know, and it's a holy gift if you ever able to get to that essence. That's a gift that would take your breath away. You wouldn't know what it is until you have it, until you experience it. I ran into a young lady one day, you know, it was late at night, like 10 o'clock at night. I walked into a store, and the spirit hit me and said, buy this lady food. And as soon as it hit me to buy her food, my phone rung. And when I looked up after answering the phone, she was already paying for her stuff, right? So I walked up closer, and she was looking for change. So I went in my pocket and gave her the change. She said, no, I'm okay. And I looked at her. I said, well, charity covers a multitude of sins. And she said, what did you say to me? And I was like, yeah, charity covers a multitude of sins. And she said, but isn't charity about money? Isn't charity just money? I said, nah, charity is life. You know, you giving forth life when you bring charity to other people. Forget about the currency that you're using to bring life to other people and focus on a life blessing that you're bringing to other people. Stop thinking about I'm about to lose $100 by giving quick $100 or I'm about to lose a house. Like the older man said, don't tell me you got 100 houses. Give me one. I need one of those houses, right? And he's right, right? I don't want to hear about you got 1,000 houses and people are homeless, right? I was on a panel one time and the people said, we're going to go out there, we're going to march about homelessness. If homelessness is our community, we don't want no homelessness in our community. I said, I agree with that. So we're going to go out there, we're going to march, we're going to do speeches, we're going to hold up our picket fences, our picket signs or whatever. We're going to let people know that we demand that homelessness be eradicated. And I said, this is amazing. This is a great thing these brothers saying. I said, can I ask you a question, though? Yes, sir. Okay, after we finish this advocacy, are we able to go and sit down at the round table and put all our tools and resources together so we can start buying properties to address the homelessness in our community? And they said, no, we can't do that because we got our own things going on. And I said, well, I don't know why I'm on this panel then. If the spirit of y'all is not about action, but it's only about words, right?
Right.
If we want to eradicate homelessness in our community, that we need to find all these abandoned buildings in our community. All these properties are about to go into foreclosure, so we need to go into these spaces, we need to go into these banks, and we need to go and get these things so we can start eradicating poverty one family or one person at a time. We can uplift homelessness, and we can see that we have the power to do so, but we do have the power to do so because we can envision it. If we wasn't able to do it, we would not be able to envision it. So the things that we're thinking about, the things that we know that has to be done in society, we, the person that's thinking about it, has the power to implement that within society and within the core of their lives. So if you implement this, I implement that, you implement that, and we bring all that together, and we got a nice little pie. And this is what I've learned in this land, at the time I've been in this land, of dealing with causes, of dealing with social justice, you know, is that we don't have to speak about these things. The Most High brings together not to speak about these things, but to bring about changes, you know what I'm saying, for the things that we can envision and the harm that we see. It's like Job said, I break the fools out of the mouth of the wicked, right? Why would he say that? What did he mean by that? He meant exactly what he said. He sees wickedness in the land, he's going to break the fools out of the mouth of the wicked. Do we have that same compassion? Do we have that same boldness that Job had, you know what I'm saying, to execute in our time period? Or do we just speak about Job, or we speak about Solomon, we just speak about King David? Or are we able to execute what Judah did for her nation, how she went and destroyed a general so she could bring her nation's spirit back to full power? Are we able to do those things to our women, to our men, to our children? Or do we just speak about scriptures and that's it? So because we know this wisdom of the scriptures, we have a responsibility. A responsibility is to bring forth the change that we can envision, and that change that moves through our bodies every single day, that touch our hearts, that make us shake and shiver. You know what I'm saying? These are the changes that we can do because it's in us. It resonates within us so we can bring these things forward. So I do appreciate everything that you shared, you know, tonight, you know, and I want to bring in, you know, some new guests. I got 3330, and we still got 50 minutes, so I definitely want to hear more from you if you're still online, you know, because this is a great thing, and I really appreciate, you know, introducing the prayer and the power of prayer and how to touch lives, you know, through prayer as we walk through the land, because this is a beautiful, healthy transition for any of us that's actually able to tap into sources that increase life instead of taking it.
Yes. So and I just wanted to say one more thing, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead. No problem.
I just wanted to say, thank you. I just wanted to say, whoever's listening onto this line, just don't ever give up your faith on God's power. Always make sure that you have faith in him and what you want him to do for you. And also, God will make you a testimony, and keep praying, even though you might think God might not see it when you're praying for it, but God is going to continue to bless you and do things for you. And God is always on time. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Amen. Bless you. Amen. So I do have 3330. Are you on the line, 3330? Hello? 3330. Okay. We have 0946. Your mic is open. 0946. All right. 0946. That's you. All right. So 9375 is there. Hello? Okay, I wasn't able to reach 9375.
We just spoke. I'm 9375, Deborah.
Oh, okay. Deborah, okay. Got you.
Okay. Yes, you.
Okay.
Yeah, I spoke.
No problem.
Okay.
No problem.
All right, problem.
Okay.
Okay.
So we got 3330. Must have dropped off. 3330. So we got 0946. But I think that's Shelly, right?
Yes. Yeah,
that's Shelly. Do you have anything else you wanted to
Well, I just wanted to thank God. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud
and
clear.
Okay, I just want to thank God for my goddaughter who you just spoke to. God is really using her mightily. I just thank God.
Nice.
She's just doing a great job. She's you know, young and whatnot. So she's a mentor herself. She's been through a lot, and God has shown himself mightily. And Sister Deborah is the mom, and I just love her dearly. We go way back, you know, since, you know, forever. Let's put it that way. And I have a lot of individuals on the phone, but I guess they don't want to speak. But I thank God they filled in the gap, and they put the words in the right place, and they put God first in the center.
That's where we need to be, God in the center. So just thank you again for, you know, what you're doing for the community. This has been a very, just everything has just been so good. I mean, the words was good. It's been rich, and I'm just really blessed hearing all the, you know, right things on the phone, on the talk show. So everything is good. Thank you so much for everything.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate it. Definitely appreciate it. Same here. Now, I do want to go on a little break for like 3 minutes. I'm going to play a song for like 3 minutes. And you come back, give each other a break, you know, and I'll come back and see if we can get some more, you know, engagement or some more spirits to come on the line, some more leaders to come on the line. Share who they are.
Go to commercial.
And share what they teach today. Yes, go to commercial.
You want to go commercial break?
Yes, commercial. Do a commercial for me.
Okay.
Entertainment worldwide, network. We on live. We in your speakers, and on your mind. 10 o'clock. We on time.
Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Wade. I sang on Payment with the NWA, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Fiend, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? It's your boy, Big D.
It's your folk, Checking Traps.
This your peace, Captain Mac.
I let your boy, Boss Lena.
Your boy, Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy, Joe Dirt.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy, Buddha, a.k.a. Buddy Mouse.
Yo, what's good? It's the Vic Percy Jones.
And Big Cell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy, Mr. Hamster Knife.
It's your girl, Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Gates.
This your bro, JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude, Insane G.
What up? This your boy, Jihad, a.k.a. J Hood.
Yo, this your folks, Young Birds.
Yo, this your folks, GB Cooney.
Yo, this is Mike G Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy, Size Money.
This your boy, Big Chad Domingo.
Bye-bye. Salute the big dog.
This your boy, Jay Futuristic.
This your folk, Lil Raheem. You dig?
I am Geronimo Beals. Off the deep end. Getting blessings. Wise Life Records. And you're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., the CEO, coming to you live.
Hey, what it do? This is Charlie Boy, the Versatile Charlie.
You're listening to the hottest radio station.
Are you ready to be inspired, uplifted, enlightened, and entertained? Judge Joe Brown is an all-American judge, lawyer, and television personality. Judge Joe Brown was raised in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles, California. Overcoming the harsh streets of L.A., he graduated at the top of his class from Dorsey High School. He then went on to earn his bachelor's degree in political science at UCLA. Judge Joe Brown is a member of the Phi Alpha fraternity and became the first African-American prosecutor in Memphis, Tennessee. He then opened his own practice before becoming a judge on the state criminal court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown was then thrusted into the national spotlight for sitting over James Earl's last appeal for race conviction for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He then caught the attention of producers of Judge Judy and is now the arbiter of his own arbitration-based reality court TV show that has been recorded for over 16 years. This show is syndicated on Bounce and available to millions of homes across America. Judge Joe Brown has been on a mission to educate the leaders of the future and has started a movement titled SAG Pants Equals a SAG Mind. This is a call to action. Let's talk and change the world. Judge Joe Brown is ready to speak at your next event. Follow Judge Joe Brown at Judge Joe Brown TV on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by 2Deep, owner of KFSM Radio and Bloody Rain Productions, and Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team. Contact 2Deep at 337-936-5176 or Pastor Don Jr. at 818-358-5722.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call. Join in the conversation hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partner, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Live talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak. On free.
We live in dangerous times, and you never know when you'll need a lawyer. Introducing Legal Shield. Get legal help 24/7. For over 47 years, people from all walks of life have joined our community and our mission to empower and protect. Wait, there's more! Become a sales associate and watch your commission grow with every sale. We are working together to change the negatives into positives. Business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major corporations all across the globe. We focus on business education, advertising, so that everyone can see the return on their investment. Visit our website at robinsonir38.wearelegalshield.com or for more information, contact Dr. Ron Robinson at 914-363-9007 or 203-515-7167 or 914-530-5876. Again, visit us at our website at www.robinsonir38.wearelegalshield.com.
Hello, welcome back everybody. Now our commercial. This is Daniel Evans. You know, and bring back the topic, you know, what is a healthy transition? My partner, Laquan Diaz, actually finally joined me. You know, so we had a really great conversation, just a synopsis on dealing with, you know, what is a healthy transition, you know, bringing prayer and bringing the Most High into our lives, rebuilding our communities, you know, bringing forth high levels of unification for one another. And I do want to bring Jaquan in. I have one guy that was waiting, you know, and then after that, Jaquan come in, you know, so we can, you know, bring this to a wrap. You know, we got 40 minutes left, but this is going to be a great time. And after this young man comes in with the 0000, Jaquan is going to come and introduce himself. He's actually my co-host on the radio show. And I look forward to hearing what you have to say about the topic as well. 0000 is you back?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here. Let me check it. The platform, young man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Now getting back to what I was talking about, where I left off at, when I talked about love.
Yeah.
See, this is how disconnected and unconnected that we are. God is love. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
God is love. That's what it's all about. Okay, and I was going to say, okay, that we run around here, like I said, Christians, Muslims, all this kind of stuff and whatnot. No. We faking it, brother. I'm going to tell you just like it. If you don't want the truth, like I said, cut me off. We are faking it. Wait a minute. If you all is Muslim, you all is Christian, and you all is whatever, okay, then why are we in condition that we're in? Zero love. Why are we in the condition that we're in? Why our children, okay, end up in jail, okay, as their home instead of home as their home? Zero love. See, how we are going to defeat all of this and get back to where we're supposed to be, okay, as being the kings and queens. Okay, excuse me, and, you know, taking care what we're supposed to be taking care here on earth, because, see, what we really are, we're spiritual beings. We just manifested in this physical form because we are spiritual beings, okay, and being spiritual beings, okay, we had to take on a form, okay, that will allow us, okay, to formulate, okay, into what we're supposed to be physically. But, however, I changed that word but, because everybody got one. Okay, however, okay, listen, the woman, see, the woman, not the W-O-M-A-N. We messed up right from the start. Why? Because we're following somebody else instead of self. We're following somebody else's stuff, not our stuff. They have taken our stuff and switched it on us. What's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right. Oh, no. We have to switch it back. Okay, somebody else's stuff that we're using now. That's why we're not getting nowhere. That's why we're not doing what we're supposed to do. If somebody else, oh, no. X, a male or female, brother or sister, okay? Why you want to be a Caucasian? Why? They can't tell you why, except for the few little stupid things, kindergarten things, because of the skin color and the hair and the privileges that come along with that because, okay, we are not in our proper place. When we was in our proper place, they was at our footstool. They were our footstool. Now we're their footstool. Come on. Okay, you don't get the recessive from the dominant. Okay, I mean, you don't get, yeah. Come on, you get, the recessive comes from the dominant, it's not the reverse. Now they got you thinking that the white is the right, and, okay, and the black is the wrong. No, no, no. Before there was light, there was what? That's right. Before the dark, the lightning, there was darkness. Okay, yeah, that's right. And out of the darkness come the light. See, black is the essence from which all color comes. You can't have a color without black. Run around here, oh, you black this and you black that. Yes. Yes. In order for you to live here on this planet, you got to have, see, they mistaken that too, that blackness for melanin. Okay? You have to have melanin. We're going to put it where you can understand it, as kindergarten students as we are, blackness, to live here on this planet. The best soil to plant your food in for your existence to live here on this planet is what? Brown, black, come on. You ain't never seen no brown or black sand. Only soil. Okay? No, little black thing. Wait a minute. Oh, black thing. What? When you close your eyes at night, go to sleep. What? You don't close your eyes and see white.
See black.
You don't close your eyes and see white. You might see the light thinking is white because that's what you was told.
Definitely.
But you don't see that when you close your eyes. And then when you close your eyes, where do you go? Where are you? But getting back to, okay, what we really need, okay, for our women, okay, to be in their proper place. Okay, well, what are you talking about now, Elder? Okay, first of all, we're going to spell woman. W-O-M-A-N. Wrong. Okay, we're going to spell it again. W-O-M-E-N. Wrong. Start out wrong. Okay? Between the two entities, the male and the female, the woman is the strongest and is the best of the two. Oh, no. Oh, now see, now, a man don't want to hear that. A man don't want to hear, because, you know, whoa, a man think he all this and he all that. You ain't all nothing, sir. You ain't all this and all that. Then why don't you bring forth life onto this planet? That's why woman is spelled W-O-M-B-M-A-N. The womb of man. Womb man, not womb of man. Man. I mean, yeah. Whoa, brother, he's spelled doctor. Whoa. But that's how you spell woman. Don't you? W-O-M-A-N. No. W-O-M-B-M-A-N. The womb of man. Now, what's... We have our women back tight, straight, like what? Like they're supposed to be? The spiritual beings? Okay. Because, see, only a spiritual being can bring forth life here on to this planet. okay? Because nothing comes onto this planet but through the womb of the womb man. That's why it's spelled W-O-M-B-M-A-N. Not W-O. But see, this boy got W-O. And then, when a woman, you understand, okay, bring forth the child and whatnot. Oh, it's not a child now, dude. Oh, it's a kid. Whoa. What do you mean it's a kid? See, we start off wrong. We start off wrong. We start off with somebody else's garbage.
I got you.
No, you wouldn't eat garbage out of the garbage can. You wouldn't eat garbage out of the garbage can, but you eat this white boy's garbage. It says it says the top of the line food. And it's not. Okay, so we need to
re-education of the mind and the heart and the spirit.
Excuse me, brother?
Yeah. I said re-education of the mind, the heart and the spirit. You know, how we define things and how we bring forth the interpretations of a thing, you know, because the interpretation of a thing has power. So I really, you know, really appreciate what you were saying. I never really thought about it like that, and that's a gift.
You were saying, that's why we need to get together, okay, and do more things, okay, with us together. Okay, for an example, the PUSH movement in Philadelphia years ago, probably, you know, before you were born, in the 60s, when they burnt the community down. Yeah, when they burnt the community down, okay, and they made that black mayor, firebomb the community. Why? It's because we were doing for self. We got to get back to doing for self, bro. Yeah, we were doing for self. Yeah, that's when they started feeding the children in schools and everything. That didn't come from them. That came from that PUSH movement.
Yeah. But I want to bring you back in. I want to bring in my guest, my co-host, to open the floor. We got 30 minutes left, and I do want to bring you back in. But this was great. You know, this second time I spoke to you today, and then both times, you know, I was left with some great wisdom. And I really hope to see you more, you know, on these platforms and even.
Let me drop this prayer Go. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Ar-rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladzina an'amta 'alayhim, ghayril maghdubi 'alayhim waladdallin. Amin. Sadaqallahu. Okay. That's for everybody listening and not listening. Thank you very much, my brother. I'm here for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm here for you too, brother.
Yeah, I'm here for you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for the healthy transition and transitioning me over. Hope everybody can hear me well. The brother definitely dropped the Al-Fatiha for us. It's appreciated. Told us, Sadaqallahu al-Azim, you know, the Creator speaks the truth. Truly he does. And going into a healthy transition is definitely a topic I've been having deep meditations on. And in the same token of the conversation and what comes forth for the listeners and everybody listening in and how it might impact you was said, it impacts me first too, because healthy transitioning goes into leadership, it goes into legacy, it goes into purpose. So to go into purpose, and a lot of things get misconstrued in what was lost in the interpretation of, you know, our leaders and how they tell us the Creator gave us a purpose. In the higher things of the universe, man and woman are created equally but non-equally in the boat of the Creator, meaning there's powers within the woman, that within the woman, childbearing. First off, the word woman is English and is definitely distorted through man's hand, and her reference was to the word Hawa. Now, Hawa in old language meant life. Hawa meant life. So the reference towards women or Eve, our mother, was Hawa, which meant life. On the two-edged sword of that same word, Hawa also means low, and low means desire in that language. So at the same token, inside women was higher excellency of bearing life. At the same token was the forefront of desire. Man will seek money, for man will seek power, for women, etc. So it, at the same core of it, the devil has used the concept of, you know, childbearing in our mothers as the same vehicle to breed destruction. So at the core of our purposes given on earth, the two classes of one another are, like, I would say we're like equally different. You know, within the woman, she has the power of childbearing. She has a more nurturing aspect to her than the man. And at the same token, the man might have certain leadership qualities that, you know, far as making critical decisions that on a woman's end might be more, you know, like with empathy based, et cetera. Each side could balance one another out. So in the legacy of the planet and the planet that we, you know, we call home, you know, our purposes were put forward to manifest into something beautiful in the end, but it's like we've run away for so long from that purpose. We don't know that this beginning lifestyle is like a test to properly transition over. And what the devil saw in that is he knew that together, you know, healthy households, healthy leadership, healthy fellowship made communities. And the devil's biggest job is to destroy communities. And there's a prophetic tradition. So in Islamic tradition, the prophetic traditions are from what is deemed the word of Allah or what is deemed the word of God. And the Quran will stand as the pinnacle authentication in an Islamic world far as the word of God. Biblically, the prophetic traditions and the word of God, I'm not going to say use the word mixed, but the word they use, the scholars use the word juxtaposed. Juxtaposed meaning that when you read through the Bible, you can't decipher between the transition from what the prophet was saying, what a sahaba or what a disciple was saying, or what the creator was saying. That's how the books got juxtaposed, by putting all the books together in the 66 or the 72 or whatever biblical reference that you're using. So that's what happens to that portion of the word. But in one of the traditions, the devil, he called all his minions to him one day. And when he calls all his minions, they were supposed to report back to him and tell him what were the deeds that they committed to grow nearer to the position of the devil. And the devil asks all of them, and one of them says, oh, Satan, I have something for you. He goes, tell me, what is it that you have for me? He said, I caused a brother and his fellow man to fight, and they killed one another. He goes, this is nothing. Move from my presence. The devil did not accept that. He comes back, another one with more power said, I am nearer to you. I have something for you. He says, what is it that you have done? He said, I caused a war between two nations and they fought each other. He said, that is nothing. Move from my presence. You have done nothing. The last one came to him and said, oh, Satan, I am nearest to you. He said, what have you done? He said, I caused a husband and a wife to fight and it destroyed the family. They're no longer together. And I have more reach on the children and their generations after that. He says, come sit next to me, for you are nearest to me. Now, why would the supreme being of mischief and the centerfold of everything the Creator says, do not make no distortions in the natural dispensancy in which he's created things? He uses the word fatir, means the natural dispensancy in which all things were made before the alteration of anything else. And he says, make no alteration in it. The same word he used for what the devil did with the current system is futaru, which is the opposite of it. It means to take what was natural and make it unnatural, make it like terraforming a world for yourself made out of artificial ingredients. So what he did, so his goal was to distort and break the households. If you look at slavery and look at how much slavery has impacted us, then the poverty and everything else that we have endured, it hasn't been a very healthy transition passing the baton on to the next generation and hoping that they will build a better or more satisfying world for the generations to come. No one has laid that baton passed down or a system where we have created where the baton is passed right, where we go back, we re-educate ourselves. We learn how to learn again. We go back to the roots and understand what family and friendship really went into building in a community. So a lot of people don't understand that there's another place after this world, whether you accept it or not. And in your transition over, like before Adam died, peace be to him, Adam got to see the angel of death approaching him. And the angel of death asked him if he was ready. He didn't hesitate. And when he told the angel of death, take me to my home. And his family, you know, he had Eve and he had his children. And they actually were saying, are you going to go? And he said, why would I wait a second longer to go back to where I was made? This is a plane that because of my hand, we are here. But in the infinite of the Creator's knowledge, it was meant to happen. Because there's also a conversation between Adam and Moses. When Adam was asked by Moses, Moses asked Adam, he said, are you the father of all humanity? He said, yes. I'm going to end with this. He said, yes, I am the father of all humanity. He said, wasn't it because of your hand that the rest of the world was left in the state that it was? Before Adam could answer it, he's going to let Moses answer it for himself. He said, are you not Moses? He said, yes. He said, are you not the one who led the children of Israel across the Red Sea? He said, I am. Are you not the man who was given the Torah of God? He said, I am. He said, are you not the man who spoke with God as if he spoke to his own friend? He said, I am. He said, how is it that you learned of my story? He said, I learned it from the revelation of the Torah. He said, and if you know the revelation of the Torah, how long ago was the Torah actually created? He said, 40,000 years before the earth was made, the Torah was written. He said, correct. He said, and you read of me and my fall in this book? He said, yes. He says, how is it you blame me for an action that was committed, which was written 40,000 years before this earth, which is billions of years before I touched this plane? So Moses paused and understood at that his father taught him something, that in the infinite of the Creator, that you saw was a lack, was actually a fulfillment in the perfection of God's creation. So what we look at as fault sometimes is actually the history of man transitioning to the plane that he belongs at. We devolved from grace, not evolved. The morals, the point that we held our women, the racism, black versus white, color, all of this that we deem higher or better goes back to that initial conversation. When he asked the devil, he said, make obeisance to man. He told all the angels and they made obeisance and he was left standing. He says, why is it that you did not bow to the man in whom I am formed with my own hand? And the devil said, La anahu mean who? He said, I am better than him. Now the word ana in the word that I said in the Arabic or in the Hebrew, you understand the audacity of what he just said. He didn't say, God, you are more worthy to be worshipped or acknowledged than man. He said, I am better than him. He excluded the Creator from his grace, just debarring himself from God's love. His brother said, God is love. When he did that, that's what the devil did to himself. That's why he was deformed, because everything is under the shroud of God's love. When he pushed the devil out of his shroud, it deformed him. It's like being under a protective barrier, and once you went out of it, you fell from grace. And once you fell from grace, you can't keep the form you own. So you got to understand all of us is in a form that is not ready to transition or manifest into what we were truly created to be. And as a human race, we have to understand that we are still evolving. And we are still a primitive race compared to the angels or other beings that have lived in the universe a lot longer. So Yeah, so when it comes to a healthy transition, you know, the word or what was left behind us points to the fact that we have to make amends. We have to make amends with the purpose that we was put here, which is to show reverence and work in the hands of our higher power. The bees, they get up in the morning, they do what they do. The ants, they get up in the morning, they do what they do. Every other creature does not have to be told its purpose on the place, the face of this plane. But mankind, with his own hand, has either destroyed more or built less than any other creature on the face of this universe. So with that said, it's like we would have to go a lot more in depth and deeper into ourselves and not a belief, but a fact that this is not it, that transitioning from here into higher excellency is an involvement for humanity itself. And I'll say this. He says, I never change the condition of a people until they first change the condition of themselves. And he mentioned this before catastrophes that have destroyed nations. And this is because we need to make the transition as a whole, individually, but also as a whole, to accept that we need to maintain this plane. And in doing so, spiritually, mentally, and physically, we will evolve into higher things. And I was walking today, imagining that in my mind and looking at my environment, saying to myself, like, the environment itself terraforms and breeds the chaos. And then I look around it. We don't have our natural environment that, you know, we were created in. And I said, what if it was like that? Would we still have the same results? Would people's mind state still be the same? You know, if we had healthy leadership and hope, I don't think so. And it gave me the strength to get on the show today that our works will transfer over into that promised land, that mentally and spiritually we make the exodus. They physically made it in the past, but I believe in my soul that the Creator left those stories intact so one day we could look at them and make an exodus again, so we can move away from the past faults and wrongs of our either ancestors or our oppressors and move into a new way of thinking and do it for ourselves. So that's my take.
It's like Christ said, you know, when you have faith, you can move mountains. You know, and, you know, aside from mustard seed, you can move mountains, you know, and I was looking today, I was actually going over analogy saying, you know, either we move the mountains or we become mountains, right? So we have to choose, you know, what facet that we want for ourselves, what type of transition that we want for ourselves. We have, you know, 14 minutes left. I left all the mics open, so if anybody want to chime in and actually speak about anything, the mic is open for anybody to come through, you know, and speak their piece. Any closing remarks from anybody that's on the platform? All right, so it's basically what Jaquan said, you know, as you go into your community and what resonates with you, like, what comes forth, you know, when you go through your community? Well, I read a parable and one of these Indian doctrines, I think it was the Bhagat something, and it was saying that instead of a people are at peace in their own community, it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter. They hear noise from another community, you know, and you know, celebrations or whatever they hear. They will never leave out of comfort of their own space to venture out into another state, right? They will never take a vacation to go into a strange land that they don't know if they was at peace in their own land, right? So we have to even look at the industry of taking a vacation. Like, what does that mean to take a vacation, right? How do you remove yourself from a reality that you have to come back to and have to endure over and over again until you get another chance to have a vacation 2 years from now or 5 years from now? How do you leave the space that you're at that's not cultivated, right, and go to another garden and say, let me eat of this garden, but you didn't create your own garden, right? And you didn't create your own garden of peace that you can actually go to and get the stuff that you need, but you go to my Elk Garden and say, man, your potatoes look beautiful. You know what I'm saying? I've never seen prunes like this, right? And you have the same type of garden that you can actually create in your own state. And this actually shows actually how less of a peace that we have in our community, right? How who we are is actually, you know, is negated within our own structure, right? We have to be able to be at peace in our own garden, you know? And the community that we live in is our garden. This is where we have been cultivated at. This is where we have learned our lessons from. This is how where we learn to be survivors. The sister was talking about Sister Dad. She was talking about the power of prayer, you know, and what the power of prayer means. But you know, the sister testified about her and who she was and the things that she went through, right? And showed that, you know, she went through some great hardships in the land, but she turned that garden back around and blessed others with her fruit, right? Blessed others with her blessings, right? So it's like Jaquam said, you know, it takes all of us to build, you know, the links in the chain. You know what I mean? One link is not stronger than the other link that's in the chain. And if one link is weaker than the other link, so that means that you have no chain to speak of. Mm-hmm. Because all somebody got to do is find that weak link and pop you, right? So we have to look at the links of the chain that we're creating within one another, within our households, outside our community, right? How are we viewed in our community? Can we stop violence? Can we bring forth life in our community? You know, can we tell others that you have gardens that's worthy of planting? You have gardens that's worthy of watering? You have gardens that's worthy of attending to? And that you can eat from your own garden instead of eating from the gardens of others? Right? Because from your garden, you know what's in your garden because you put it there. You go to somebody else's garden, you don't know what's there. You don't know what they use to fertilize their garden. Right? So the truth of the matter is actually it comes with us, right? And how we envision who we are, how we envision our transition from this plane to the next, right? It's like walking from one block to another. You have to go on a journey to get to that block, even though you may feel it's not that far off, but you have to go through a journey to get to that block, right? You have to project yourself so you can take that walk or get on that train. You know, get on that bus or go visit a family member. You know what I mean? These are things that you have to do. So how do we use this same reality that we have to do every day of journeying to our purpose? How do we journey to the purpose of a healthy transition? And what is a healthy transition to you? And what transition that you will make that will actually give you peace, you know what I mean, in your life? And like I said, the mic is open. I just had another person come on, which is 7086. And if this individual wants to chime in and speak, you know, by all means, the mic is open for anybody that comes in, first come, first serve. And we're looking forward to hear what anybody else to say. You only have 9 minutes left, and it'll be a blessing to hear what anybody else has to say about this topic.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here. I hear you.
Hi. So, yes, I'm Ms. Terry's goddaughter. And
yes.
I agree with what the gentleman said, but I feel like what it all boils down to is God, the creator.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Showing us, leading us, guiding us. And if we don't have God, like what I said before earlier, we don't have anything. God is love, and God brings beautiful things, and God brings you out of places that you wouldn't imagine that he would bring you out of.
Amen.
But when you know that you have him and you know his power, so many things open up. And sometimes we lose faith because the world is full of sin.
Mm.
But when God shows you, I'm still here. This world is full of sin, but I'm still here. I'm still here to pick you up. I never left your side. As long as you pray to me and ask me for these things, I will make you a testimony when you tell other people about me, when you pray for other people, when you let people know who I am and my power, I will show you things.
Powerful.
I will bring you out the storm. And I will lift you up, and I will also deliver your family from your prayers.
Amen.
So when you talk about the garden, I mean, I feel like I don't have anything in this world if I don't have God and, like what I said, know his power. And my faith in him is so strong because without him, I can't do anything. He has given me so many things, and I've been down and out. But when I pray to him, I know that he's bringing me out, and he is always on time to show me those things. And without his guidance and him speaking to me and speaking into my life and through me to other people so their life could be changed also, he's using us as a vessel for everybody's life that we speak to. I mean, everybody on this line, you know, I'm pretty sure he's using you as a vessel also in other people's life to, you know, anything you say about him, to encourage them and let them know that even though this world is full of sin, God will still bring you out of what you're going through.
Amen.
As long as you have faith in him that he will do it, he will do it.
Amen. Sister, that was powerful, and I think that's something we all needed to hear, that, you know, the Creator, that's the pinnacle of the story right there, that he never left. You know, some people try to make it seem like he's asleep or he's not there no more, but he's very much still with us.
And he's always with us. And sometimes, you know, there's times where you feel like, well, is God, do you hear me? Do you hear me? And he truly hears you. You are made perfect in his image, so he hears you. And when you ask for forgiveness, and this world is full of sin, like what I said, God will forgive you without any judgment because he loves you and he knows who he creates. He knows his people. He knows who worships him and gives him all the glory and the honor. And he will make
Amen.
You a testimony. As long as you believe in him, he will keep making you a testimony and bringing you out every situation and just making everything better. But your faith, it comes with your faith in him. Your faith has to be there with him. You got to know that he's going to do things for you and change things in your life. Because once your faith, I feel like once your faith is not in with all the way with him, then it's like you have to know his power. His power is so strong.
Yes, you have to know his power. I agree with that.
Yeah,
I don't think everybody knows his power sometimes.
Yeah, it's about accepting it because God has been limited into boxes where a lot of people find faith as something just to just follow or figure their imagination.
Yeah.
He's been excluded out of everything that is real when he is the supreme factor in reality. Instead of us reverting to him and all of our fears from government better for the answers, we exclude him from everything and put man on the pedestal of having the answers. So it's over. We already changed the hierarchy, and man can't sit there. So who's sitting there? The devil. He's sitting right there.
Exactly.
He sat him
and the devil can't wait. And he can't wait. He can't wait for that open door. He can't wait for you to go through his door and go his way. But what the devil needs to understand that the people of God, we know God's power is stronger than you could ever be. You could never have, the devil could never have God's power. And when I feel like people understand that, because some people, they want to go with the devil, but God's power is much stronger. And when you go God's way, he's going to take you. He's going to take you to different places. He's going to do things for you. He's going to make you a testimony in his name because he knows that you are following him. The devil is weak. He's weak.
Yeah.
He's weak, but he thinks he has the power when he takes over people's minds. He thinks he has the power now when he takes over your mind and your mental state of mind, but he doesn't have any power.
But he doesn't
it's
have
amazing
it.
You say all of that because he is diluted from the
past. Don't think the devil is weak. Do not think that. Okay, no, stop that thinking right now. Okay, if the devil is so weak,
God,
why are we hung up on sneakers and everything else except for God if the devil is so weak? Why are we hung up on
the devil's weak in my life.
Yeah,
he's weak in my life.
Power, the devil
that's
only,
what I'm saying. I don't care about sneakers.
Refer to
I don't
what
care
the word
about that.
Says. Because he said that the plot and that the devil is frail. God used the word frail, and the word literally means feeble or brittle. This is the Creator.
Yeah.
It's telling you this being that you have put on a pedestal, that you empower with this lust and sneakers and everything else you lust for, is nothing to me. I will break him in half with a single word. The devil and God are not even sitting in the same boat.
Exactly.
So, amen. We're going to talk more
that's what I'm saying.
On the show, and let's go into it. I hope to see all y'all back.
Tell me, what do you give when you're giving your all? And seems like you can't make it. Well, you just stand. When there's nothing left to do, you just stand, watch the Lord see you through. Yes, after you've done all you can, you just stand.